This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Cause I'm a wanderer. Yeah, a wanderer. I roam around, 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 around.
Oh yeah, a little Dion for you this morning. Great song. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my friend, partner, buddy, co-conspirator, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, June the 3rd. Wow, we're moving along, are we not, in this year? In a few minutes, Joel Griffin of the Heritage Foundation is going to be here. We're going to talk about how the Biden inflation plan is filled with problems. It ain't working. What is it? We're going to find out. Stay tuned. And speaking of Biden, he takes to the airwaves last night to demand a so-called assault weapons ban. Of course, he gets in a few licks at Republicans. Well, we're going to get some thoughts on that, as well as a few other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll. I'm sure you watched Biden talking last night, Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that as well a little later in the show. And despite a fairly decent economics report for May, pessimism about where we are going in this country continues to get worse, continues to grow. We are going to take a look. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we are going down the states alphabetically with supposedly the best movie ever made in their state. Right now, we're going to go alphabetically from Hawaii to Maryland. I've gotten some comments on some of those movies, by the way, for the first 10, saying, what are you talking about? How can you not say that, as an example, in Alabama? What did we say? Alabama's... movie was Get Out. Well, they made To Kill a Mockingbird in Alabama. Great movie. How did that not make it? Anyway, we can't necessarily defend the choices. We just go to the site and do what they say. So, Freedom Works, by the way, sponsored in part by in the Pinellas County, for my money, the best barber there is. Andrew's Master Barbershop is located in Dunedin, just off State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. Guys, you want the best haircut you can get at a great price and have fun? Because these people are fun to deal with. Let me tell you, they're a lot of fun. They're so nice. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Okay, so we get the May jobs report, and it's actually not bad. It's not a bad number. The U.S. economy continued to see healthy job growth in May, indicating the labor market is still strong, despite the fear of a recession and where the stock market is going and our sky-high inflation, and we don't have no stinking milk for the kids or baby formula for the kids, right? We got a lot of problems. But employers added 390,000 jobs last month. Our unemployment rate is still around 3.6%, holding steady. Apparently, that's the lowest level since February of 2020. So people are working. Now, a lot of people will say, but look at the jobs they're doing. And they're not able to make ends meet because the money they are being paid is not keeping up with the rate of inflation. And the rate of inflation is around, what, 6-something, or is it 8-something? But you know the truth? The things you really need It's higher than that. It's higher than that. Check your gasoline prices. Did you know, by the way, since Biden took office, this is a scary thing. You won't hear Biden talking about this when he addresses people. The price of gas has virtually doubled since he took office. It's just under 100% more expensive. Now, I think in California, correct me, Ed, if I'm wrong, it's over $6. It's about $6.30.
Yeah, it's right at six. It's high fives.
Oh, I think in the city of Los Angeles, I saw something said $6.75.
Well, there's some places.
It's over six.
Some places are charging more than others because of the convenience of where they're at.
But you know my point.
They're picking the picture, you know, and plastering that.
That's true too.
The average gas in California is probably somewhere in the high fives, close to six.
I bet it's over six. Can we check that?
Yeah, I'll check on that.
I think it's over six. But anyway, the point is, the prices have doubled. The prices have doubled, basically. If you think that Democrats are going to get elected again in November, when you have doubled the cost of gas, now remember this, we say it over and over again, no matter how you get whatever it is you want to get, whether it's food or clothing or a social service or whatever it is you want to get, you have to remember that somebody has to come to the place to deliver it. And therefore, a truck always brings any product you want, whether you get it at the store or it's delivered to your house or mailbox. So you're paying for all that as well. The diesel price is even higher than regular gas.
You know, and that was part of the conversation and the debate in some of the elections between Biden and Trump, that Trump said, if you're elected, gas will be $5-6 a gallon. Guess what?
He's exactly
it
right.
It is. And we got to tell people we told you so, because the people that elected Biden in there, 18 months later, he has thrown this country into a recession and did not unite the country. In fact, he's probably given us a bigger wedge in dividing this company, this country.
Oh, he's very polarizing.
But he's done nothing. And last night, I didn't watch it.
I think he's inept, Ed. Let's be honest. The guy's inept.
Yeah.
And he's got crazies are pulling the strings.
Last night, I didn't look at it, but I watched the lowlights. He looked into the camera and he said on the guns, "I got to do something. Do something." And I'm thinking, that can be played back and said, "Mr. Biden, about the gas situation," and replay that for him. Do something. Do something. And now he's going to run to Saudi Arabia and beg those people. Hey, why not stop at Venezuela on the way home, too?
I mean, it defies.
Pick up some baby formula on the way.
It defies common sense what he's done.
It's a clown
college.
We're
going and begging for dirty oil from other countries that hate us. And then we can make a better product here for a cheaper price and employ all of these people. And but he won't do that because he is so tied in with these crazies that are absolutely demanding that we go all electric, and they don't even know the first thing about what they're demanding.
In 2019, he called the Saudis murderers.
Exactly.
Now he's
in bed with them.
Yeah, if I were the Saudis, I'd be like, I thought we were murderers.
Oh, is President Biden coming? Well, isn't that nice? I can't wait to really help President Biden after all of the things that he has said about us.
Have him sit out in the waiting room for a couple hours.
Oh, God. We have to make jokes because it's scary sad. All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, our buddy Joel Griffin is going to join us from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the so-called Biden inflation plan. We'll get a few laughs out of that. Stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Well, listen to this. After a year of relentlessly rising prices, the White House is now sending its troops out, fanning them out in full inflation-fighting mode. They're going to all these stations. I even saw a couple of them on Fox. They're going to Fox as well. They don't normally show up on Fox because they don't like what Fox has to say about their performance. But they're even there talking how President Biden is really grabbing this inflation problem and dealing with it. The administration has taken steps to quell the massive unrest over these surging inflation numbers by saying that Biden understands. He understands what U.S. households are enduring. And this is the thing about Biden. He's got this thing about, you know, he all these years, he's always been the so-called Mr. Empathy, you know? I call him Mr. Tin Ear, but a lot of people, you know, think, well, you know, he seems to be caring. I think people are finally figuring this out. This guy is phony when it comes to that. He doesn't really care. Anyway, Joel Griffin is joining us, great research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He's got a piece in the Daily Signal, Biden inflation plan filled with inaccuracies, warped analysis, and flawed solutions. Other than that, it's great. Joel, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me this morning.
It's always a pleasure. You know, it's almost, it's like we're picking on him. It's too easy with the things that are going wrong. And he stands up there. He's either got a tin ear and he really believes that things are working out, or he thinks he's fooling people. I'm not sure which it is anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, today's is a big 500-day anniversary. And if we think back to 500 days ago when he first stepped foot in the Oval Office, gas was $2.38 a gallon. So no matter what, you know, families across the board are feeling the squeeze right now. And you're exactly right. When he rolled out his big inflation-fighting plan the other day, he mischaracterized the state of the economy, suggesting that it is strong when American families, in actuality, the typical family today, is earning $2,500 less per year in real terms than they were just 1 year ago. This is really a historic plunge in household earnings over the past 12 months, and he's acting as if there's a robust economy. In fact, in his piece, when he talked about combating inflation, talking about how great the economy was, he didn't even mention the fact that our economy actually shrank during the first 3 months of this year. We have a shrinking economy. We have nearly 3 million people that have disappeared from the labor force, and we have prices rising at the fastest pace in at least 40 years. And I say at least 40 years because the way they calculate it, they suggest that, oh, hey, if somebody can go ahead and substitute filet mignon for ground chicken, let's just use the ground chicken price. So these numbers themselves are quite warped. And the solutions he proposed will just make matters worse. You know, the president talks about how he lived through the inflation of 40 years ago and he was in a middle-class family. Well, then why in the world would he, in this opinion piece, suggest that price controls on shippers could actually alleviate the problem. That was actually one of his proposals.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, anybody that's got any sense of history knows that whenever we have tried price controls, it's made the product even harder to get, and it's raised the cost. Jimmy Carter tried it with gasoline rationing back in the 70s. It turned into a complete disaster for the poor guy. So, anybody with any economic common sense realizes price controls don't work. But they are going around. It's like, an avalanche is falling on them, but they're sticking their head out of the oncoming rocks going, but we've lowered the deficit. We've lowered the deficit. What the hell are they talking about? What the hell are they talking about? It makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense, and nobody cares that they're lowering the deficit. We're at $30 trillion plus for a national debt.
Well, and that's something the president not even mentioned in his speech. The primary reason that we have skyrocketing prices, it's not just the Fed's fault. It's the fault of both Democrats and Republicans in Congress who approved more than $6 trillion in additional spending over the past few years. And it's not as if they taxed us to spend it. They didn't borrow it from the private sector. They worked hand-in-hand with the central bank. Congress passed these massive spending proposals that flooded all of our checking accounts with cash, and then they just turned to the Fed, and the Fed printed the money. That is the primary reason why we're seeing the inflation. The other reason is because we had people like Fauci, Dr. Fauci, trying to instruct county commissioners, governors, and mayors across the country to shut down this country. That's the flip side of this. So we made two big mistakes. Shutting down the economy, it was unnecessary, it was immoral, it was unconstitutional, and then printing all the money to finance all of the spending. Those are the two culprits, and President Biden refuses to acknowledge it.
You're so right. We're talking with Joel Griffin, research fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and we're talking about the Biden inflation plan. I don't even think it's a plan. That's being kind. But Joel has written a piece for the Daily Signal about what they're trying to do, apparently, with this plan. You know, like you say, the trillions of dollars that we have dumped onto the, dumped into the economy obviously creates inflation. When we were sending out all of those checks to people, no matter who they were, people that needed them, people that didn't need them.
Yeah.
And we're printing money, and we don't have any backing for our money. We were taken off the gold standard by Nixon, I believe back in the 70s. So we're just printing money. One of these days, somebody's going to wake up and say, why is this money worth anything? We just print it. I mean, I don't understand it. I guess supposedly, as long as people buy our debt, we're okay. One of these days, they're not going to buy our debt, and that money is going to inflate to the point that, it's going to cut $100,000 for a loaf of bread.
Yeah. Well, you have your finger on something very important. We talk about finding people to buy our debt. The truth is, over the past few years, it's not as if we have people buying our debt so much as we have our central bank printing the cash. We talk about the Fed printing money. What they did is they printed the cash, and then they went ahead and took those newly printed dollars to buy up federal government debt. So we have this bizarro world in which we have the central bank owning trillions of dollars worth of government bonds, and then they go ahead and remit the interest payment back to the federal government, and the federal government counts it as profit. It's such a war.
It's a smoke and mirrors, isn't it? Smoke and mirrors.
It really is. But we're feeling the results of it. I mean, think about, too, something I think that's impacting American families more than anything else is actually the rising home price. We've seen the typical home go up by 30% in value over the last year and a half. And a big part of that price hike is because we had our Federal Reserve, they printed up trillions of dollars to buy up mortgages. So they inflated the housing market, which means that if you're a new family or a growing family and you're trying to get into a bigger house or even the same size house, if you go from a 2,000 square foot house this year and you were to look at what it cost you last year to get into that house, it's 70% more expensive in terms of your mortgage payment.
Yeah, very.
The Federal Reserve is responsible for that. They caused this problem. And there's really no plan underway to get them out of the mortgage business.
Yeah, and now if we're going to raise the rates, supposedly, to slow down things, if the Fed raises the rates, so that means the mortgage rates are higher, which means fewer people are going to take out loans to buy houses, which will slow down the housing market. I mean, all these things are going wrong. Let me ask you this, Joel. Are we right now, do you think we are right now in a recession?
Well, a recession, the definition is two quarters of negative economic growth. We know that the last quarter, the economy shrank by 1.5% on a single basis. We don't yet know if this quarter is going to be also negative growth. But regardless of whether or not we end up technically in a recession, which I think there's actually very high odds that we are in one, but regardless of what those numbers show, what we do know is that the typical family is less well off today than they were a year ago. The typical family has seen a $2,400 decline in the purchasing power of their income, and that's because wages grew around 5% this past year, but the cost of living at the minimum for most families increased by 10%. That's a very real wage cut. And even if inflation were somehow to return to normal, to 2% a year, that does nothing to account for the fact that families lost so much ground over the last 2 years. If your real income is $2,500 lower today than it was a year ago, even if price hikes just go back to normal, you are still going to be suffering with that $2,500 pay cut for years to come.
Yeah. So it goes back to, I think, what the underlying concern here, and that is the whole approach to a socialistic type of a philosophy where you throw money at stuff. After a while, you run out of the money. As Margaret Thatcher once famously said, the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money. But the Democrats have no other solution than to throw money at stuff, if you think about it, you know? Throw money at stuff. And then it exacerbates the problem, typically, because you don't want more federal government intervention. The best thing we can do to get out of all of this is to basically pull the horns back, draw the curtains back, pull the feds away from our market. Obviously, we've talked before about deregulating some of the things that is slowing us down in our pursuit of energy, you know, in our country. Go ahead. I'm just kind of waxing philosophical here.
No, I'm with you on that. That's exactly right. Well, what this takes is for people to understand the causation behind the pain that they're feeling. And when you see Biden trying to blame, okay, let's say if you take energy, for instance, he keeps trying to blame energy price hikes on Putin. Well, it's important for people like you in the media to actually explain. Now, let's remember, everyone, these prices were increasing before Putin invaded Ukraine. They were increasing before OPEC cut back on production. What we have right now is a very real problem in our country of production. We're producing 10% less monthly in terms of gas and oil than we were right before the COVID shutdowns. And in large part, that's not because of greedy companies. Companies didn't just become greedy overnight. It's because you have this administration that has declared war on the fossil fuel industry, and that's not an exaggeration. You have chief climate envoy, whatever that means, John Kerry, basically saying he wants to put these companies out of business in the next 10 to 20 years. And if you're an oil or a gas company, and you're thinking about putting in billions of dollars in new pipeline, or in buying new land, or a new refinery, you have to know that you're going to be able to operate that facility for 10 to 20 years because it takes years to recoup those investment dollars. And when you have a Biden administration that's saying, we want to put you out of business in the next 10 years or so, you'd be crazy to go ahead and invest in new infrastructure. And that's why you see these companies, they're not amping up production necessarily. They're giving proceeds back to shareholders. It's because we have a regime right now in Washington, D.C., that says they want them out of business. They've declared war. And if you look at Biden's op-ed from the other day talking about inflation, he didn't even mention the importance of natural gas and oil to affordable solutions. All he talked about were wind turbines and solar panels.
Right. And now he's going to go to Saudi Arabia and beg for oil. You know, we're cutting back on our production here because we want to make a cleaner environment. So what do? We go to Venezuela and Saudi Arabia to get their dirty oil and bring it back here. So you tell me, are we moving and marching towards a cleaner environment?
No.
I mean,
it's something too, these environmentalist radicals never mention, because their goal is not to clean up the environment. The goal is to suppress capitalism, to diminish human consumption, and to concentrate power in their hands so they can remake the world in their image. And that's why they never mention that it's the United States that actually led the world in carbon emissions reductions over the last 10 years or so. And that's because we went ahead and developed our natural gas supplies. But their goal is not to diminish CO2 emissions. Their goal is not a better environment. Their goal is to stop the parasite on the planet. And by that, I mean humankind. who they view as a parasite.
I tell you, Joel, we're going through a really tough time right now. I'm hoping that we're going to come out on the other end. Things are going to look up. But it is always a pleasure having you on and having you watching out for us. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thanks for everything you do. Thanks.
All right. Joel Griffin, Heritage Foundation. Oh, boy. I guess we just have to be optimistic that all these people, these nuts, are going to go away in November. I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, let's take our break. And when we come back, Biden, taken to the airwaves last night, demanding a so-called assault weapons ban. Of course, it gets in a few licks at the GOP. We're going to get some thoughts on this, as well as a few other things, from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tantalk Radio Network. SBA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Open up a honey, it's your lover boy, me that's knocking. Why don't you listen to me, sugar, all the cats are at the high school rocking.
Okay, Jerry Lee, thank you, sir. We are back on a Friday. And I enjoy, in a strange, perverted way, watching Biden try to act like he thinks people think he thinks he's in control. I don't know if you follow what I'm thinking here, but he goes out there and you're just waiting. You're just waiting for something to happen whenever the guy is talking. So he goes out and he struts up to the dais and the microphone, and away he goes. Of course, he's reading from the teleprompter, talking about the Second Amendment. He said last night in his speech, and I guess all the major stations had it on, he said the Second Amendment is not absolute. He's calling again for what he calls common sense gun control legislation, including the reinstatement of an assault weapons ban. Now, an assault weapon, even that is something that people are arguing about. When I think of an assault weapon, I think of you hold the trigger, Ed, and a bunch of bullets come flying out. And they always talk, I think, is it the M16 they're talking about all the time? But it's a single action rifle, is it not? It may look like it's a military, scary weapon, but it's a single action. It's almost,
Semi-automatic. Yeah, so okay. They got a problem with the AR-15s and assault weapons. That's what they want to ban.
Okay. We got the proprietor of the Barber Poll, and he makes no bones about saying that he possesses a firearm, and as so many of us do. And I know he did not watch the speech last night. So, Andrew, I'm not going to ask you what you thought of Biden's speech. You know what he talks like. And he thinks like
you know me well. Paul.
I do know you well.
I wouldn't waste my time watching.
You were not
no
you,
question about it.
Absolutely, and I watch only for the comedy. Go ahead.
Again, what don't
they understand about that one quote in there that says, "Thou shall not infringe," and the Second Amendment.
They seem to think that unless you're going to be part of an organized militia, you have no right to own a gun. That's what they think. But that's not what it says. It's not what it says. It says because there's the possibility that you might need to be in a militia, the right to your having guns will not be, impaired.
That's right. So, Paul, first of all, it's never going to happen. Okay?
They're never going to get the guns out. Right.
No. And do you know that I was reading an article this morning. They would say about 57-58% of the people believe this country is heading toward a civil war.
I think you're right. In fact, I've got some statistics here you might be interested in. The economic confidence level has dropped. It actually, from a minus 39, it's gone lower to a minus 45. This is Gallup, by the way, the Gallup poll. Let's see. It's the worst it's ever been, basically. It says here, it is the lowest reading in Gallup's trend during the coronavirus pandemic and likely the lowest confidence has been since the tail end of the Great Recession in early 2009. But overall, I think people are more pessimistic now. You and I both remember the Carter administration and how tough things seemed to be then. But I think we thought that at least with Carter, he wasn't an evil man. I think people think that there's a lot of evil going on in the White House.
Well, let me explain it to the American people in simple words they'll understand. With the present administration that is in office, we're screwed.
Yes.
I think they understood that one.
I think they do. Okay. And they feel it.
There's no question about it. Okay, the guy, I didn't watch it last night because I'm tired of seeing somebody make a fool out of themselves so many times.
Yeah, you're right.
Number one. But you know what, Paul?
But he's going over to Saudi Arabia. He's going to convince them to give us a good deal.
Hey, let him go. The plane crashes on the way there.
Oh, we don't want that. Go ahead.
I know.
I know you're kidding.
I just think that.
I know.
But you know, Paul, did you hear what Ron DeSantis did yesterday? I thought it was beautiful.
Well, now we're going to go ahead.
He hit it out of the ballpark yesterday.
Tell us.
They were going to give $37 million, I believe, to the Rays to build a training stadium somewhere in Tampa. But it happened that the Rays have gone woke. The Rays instead donated $50,000 to an organization that's trying to abolish the Second Amendment.
Really?
So, yes. So, Ron DeSantis vetoed that money. They will not get it. And I thought that was great because you know where I think they're going to put it, Paul?
Where?
I think they're taking that money from the Rays and they're going to put it into securing the schools around here. What do you think of that one?
I think it would be a money better served, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what, this kid hits it out of the park all day. Meanwhile, you got a meatball up in the office, doesn't know what he's talking about, and you got a 43-year-old kid over here hitting grand slams.
I want to know more about this Rays. Initially, they were going to hand over a bunch of money to the Rays for a training facility. Is that what you said?
Yes, okay. Yes, $36 to $37 million.
Okay, where was that money technically coming from? From the city of St. Petersburg?
I don't know.
It wouldn't have come from the state
of Florida.
No, it wouldn't have come from the state. Well, they don't have the.
Well,
you can't just hand money over to a.
Wherever it's coming from, he vetoed it.
Okay. Well, he can't veto something. But anyway, what you're saying is he stopped some of this stuff from occurring. Okay. Very interesting.
Let the kid go. I'll tell you, he's in the grand slam.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the people keep enjoying the prices at the pumps.
We know.
The price of ground chuck, I believe, is up to about $6.99 a pound.
Yeah, I mean, when is it gonna go the other way? As soon as he leaves?
My wife bought me a piece of fish yesterday. A piece of fish. A half a pound of haddock, $18, Paul.
Really?
I can't believe it.
Oh, yeah. My God. Do you remember, you know what I've been thinking about? If you really want to put in perspective, at least with the cost of gasoline. Remember when you'd have a lawnmower and you'd go over to the gas station with your little can. And maybe you get 2 gallons out of it, and you can go you go back in, and you hand the guy a $5 bill, and you get back all kinds of change. It's now going to cost you $12 for those 2 gallons of gas.
Paul, when I was started working at my old man's gas station when I was a kid, the gasoline was $29.9 a gallon.
Wow, yeah.
I had to check their oil, check their transmission,
yeah,
clean their windows and put air in their tires.
You're right.
And give them
I did the same thing.
S&H green stamps to boot, Paul.
I remember S&H green stamps.
Now they give you a bottle of Vaseline when you fill up your car.
You know,
isn't that amazing?
Oh, it's just amazing. And you know, the more the government got involved in that particular enterprise, the enterprise of gas and energy, just think about it. Back then, the government was hardly at all involved, and you got all those things, all those services, and you got 29 cents a gallon for your gasoline and green stamps to boot. I mean, think about it. Think about the intervention of government. And what it does.
In a glass to boot, Paul.
I know.
I'm telling you. I remember this. Now forget about it. You got to pump your own.
You got to pump your own gas. It's $6.10, and
right.
And you get a mean stare from the people going by. So I mean, come on.
Well, hey, you know what, Paul? Thank God for the Democrats. I had a friend yesterday that we know, a friend that's a perfect liberal, you know. And he was complaining. He goes, I got to put $25 worth of gas in my car, and it only gives me a quarter of a tank. And this guy just looked at him and says, hey, you're the one who voted for this guy.
Yeah.
You enjoying it?
I noticed that the Biden signs that we saw, and I had a few of them on my street during the election, are long gone.
They're hiding them, buddy.
They're burning them.
I see more Bernie Sanders stickers yet than I do Biden stickers, buddy.
Yeah, but I mean, Bernie Sanders. Now, if anybody thinks that Biden's doing a lousy job, why would they look to Bernie Sanders?
No, these are just old stickers.
No, I know.
Cars.
You're
know
right.
What I'm saying? And these stickers are actually holding these people's cars together, because that's the clientele they attract, you know. They got bumper stickers holding the bumpers on.
That's
Bernie
true.
Out the back window. Oh, yeah. They all drive the Chrysler minivans that look like they've been through World War II.
I tell you, it's just absolutely crazy. I want to ask you something on a personal level. Now, we're moving into the summer, and at least at one point, all of the snowbirds would have gone, and you're kind of back to the regular clientele, et cetera, et cetera. Do you find that in June, July, August, September, is there a difference in the number of people that come in for haircuts for you,
or Paul,
pretty much the same?
It's the same, because this business I've been building for 37 years, and you know, this is no longer snowbird country.
Okay.
It used to be 35 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And you know, come April 15th, you slept the rest of the summer. But
that's
now
true.
It stays just as busy, Paul. I mean, when I started out on 580, it was a dirt road with two lanes with potholes all the way down to the water.
That was a long time. What year was that?
1985.
Wow.
Now it's four lanes across, and you can't find anything to build anywhere around.
You're right. It's filled up. You know, and that's another thing about Florida. We have the fewest rules and the most people wanting to come here and the most businesses wanting to open up here. So it a right-to-work state. The fewer rules, you're not intimidated when you want to do things here. You don't feel that. Go to New York or New Jersey and try to do the same thing.
You know, people complain about not making a living here. Can you imagine paying $8,000-$9,000 a year on your property taxes up there?
There you go. Plus your income, state income tax. It's crazy.
I would have to quit smoking to pay $20 a pack.
Now, if you quit smoking, you could pay off your mortgage. You could pay off your personal property tax. You could pay off the building with a...
You got no idea the money I spend on cigarettes.
Oh, I do know. I know what they cost.
A new Cadillac with a monthly payment for a new Cadillac, buddy.
Oh, my goodness. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. I appreciate that so much. I'm looking forward to our conversation on Monday.
And you guys have a very Biden weekend, huh? Enjoy it all.
May the Biden be with us? Oh,
May
God,
Biden
no.
Be with you.
God
all
help
right.
us. All right.
Be good, brother.
All right.
See you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Oh, Lord. We got to laugh. Otherwise, we cry. All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, despite a fairly decent economic report for May, the pessimism about our country continues to grow. We're going to take a look. You say-
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just
hey, we are back.
Me?
Final segment on a Friday. We thank you so very much for joining us. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. And Ed puts all of our shows on podcast. I mean, they're so good that you want to hear them again. And in some cases, you haven't been able to hear one of our shows. So go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top, and voila, pick your show. All right. So we don't, you know, I'm thinking about this, Ed. I don't want to be too down today. It's a Friday. There are a lot of good things going on. We're still... This is still the greatest country, and people are just banging on the door to get in and sneaking through the windows to get in and everything else. So it's a great country. We got a bunch, in our opinion, we have a bunch of nudniks that are currently running things in Washington. But times are going to change. Hopefully we're going to get some better people in November. We're going to get a lot of these people out that have been wasting our money and wasting our time and making things worse.
But, you know... The tough thing is it's almost something new every day that just makes you, you know, what the heck? You know, what the heck is going on? And hypocrisy is so, you know, for some reason Fox News has been covering the Johnny Depp civil trial against his ex-girlfriend, wife, right. Whatever it was. And, of course, she lost that. And... Now the Me Too movement has come out and said what a damaging case that was for women. Where were those Me Too women when Governor Cuomo was being run through the ringer and nobody stepped forward to stick up for those women? Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah, of course.
And the
I
Me
do.
Too, all the women that came out and said they were, you know, touched inappropriately, whatever. You didn't hear anything from the Me Too movement. Nothing. It's funny how these organizations.
He's a liberal Democrat, but
I'm
don't you understand?
I'm not even talking about Cuomo. I'm talking about these organizations pick and choose
political
their fights.
Of course.
You know, instead of saying, look, this is the way we're going to do it. And it's. That's why I just want people to laugh at these people.
Right. Let's take the gun thing for a second. And we've talked about this. The outrage comes out. The media and the left come out in droves when there's a school shooting. I think, God forbid, I think some of them are gleeful that they can talk about it.
Well, just like the pandemic.
But all of the real killings with guns are going on in the inner cities.
Sure it is. Every day.
You know, the average number per day in the inner cities of our country is 22 deaths a day.
Nobody's crying out
that's
for those people.
That's over 600 a month. And that's, you want to talk about an epidemic. You want to really fix, you really want to slow down the deaths by gun.
And to be realistic, people, do you if some sort of a ban comes on guns, do Do you really think the criminals are going to throw up their hands and say, you know, hey, whoa, whoa, I got one of them band things. Hang on. I'll go ahead and dump it off, yeah. All right? Do I just turn it in? What do I do?
The Beto O'Rourke coming to your door to take your guns ain't going to work. Even the good guy isn't going to hand over his gun. He's going to say, get out of here.
It's just the hypocrisy.
It's never going to work to take away guns. It's not going to work.
The hypocrisy is just so deep. And then we got all these, the crying over the children. And I understand, and it's a sad situation. But to use that as a political thing, and they're so upset about it, Paul, that they went home for the Memorial Day weekend. Not only the weekend, but they've taken this week off, too. They don't come back until Monday. That's how concerned they are to get something pushed back. You think a Zoom call was going to do anything?
And
come
Biden's
on.
Going back to Delaware, you know, over the weekend. So, you know, he talks about his outrage last night and ready to work hard on getting this thing done. And away he goes.
These Zoom conferences are like internet dating. Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. You're right. Ed, guess what we have on tonight?
We have got the Lightning got their butts kicked the other night.
You got it.
They're going to come back tonight, and I think
that's what
take
I want
care.
To ask you. We lost, surprisingly to me, 6-2 in game one. So tonight is game two. It's also against the Rangers. It's also in New York. Now, be honest. Do you really think we're going to win this game?
I really thought the Lightning would take one of the two. I just didn't know which one.
So they're going to take.
So the
this
emotion
one.
Came out high with the Rangers on the other night, and I think tonight they go back to down to earth. I still think it's going to go at least five games.
At least five.
At least six games.
At least six.
Yeah.
And you think that the Lightning still are the favorite team? Is that right?
I'm hoping so.
Okay, that's fair.
But every time I pick them to lose, they win. So why not pick them to lose?
Do you think that they were the Lightning in Game One? Where they lost 6-2, were sort of back on their heels from the 10 days off.
They were rusty. They don't want to admit it. Nobody wants to admit it, but they were.
Okay.
You know, there's the good and the bad. The good is you can get healthy. The bad is you're not experiencing the game situation, you know, the game speed,
yes.
The game toughness, you know.
For Lightning fans, the good news is they have hardly ever lost a game after they've won. I mean, they've hardly, yes. After a loss, they have hardly ever lost two in a row.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. They always seem to come back.
Right.
So that's what we're hoping for.
And on the other hand, the Rays, I can't forget them out. You know, they take two out of four from the Yankees, and they take two out of four from the Rangers yesterday.
Okay.
You know, which way they're going? Are they going to be a 500 team? I don't know. I mean.
So they're not making that move yet. Now we got a long time to go.
I think they got. This is going to be an interesting year, I think.
Who is number one in the Eastern the division they're in?
Well, the Yankees are on top, right?
They are.
The best team in baseball right now.
They are the best team in baseball.
That and the Dodgers.
Dodgers are always the best team in baseball. I mean, I say the best team. The Dodgers are always
but, you know,
there.
You know, the Rays have sunk down to third place because the Blue Jays have passed them.
We got to talk about it. The NBA Finals are going on. Did you watch any of it last night?
Not one basketball.
Okay. It was an interesting game. Boston won by about 20 points. I don't remember the score. But they were playing in Golden State. It's Boston versus Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to tip of the hat to that going on.
Mm.
But we don't care, do we?
I don't.
Okay. All right. It's time for our top 10. Now, what we're doing is we're going down alphabetically by state and trying to come up with the best movies that were filmed in each state. And as I said, I got some feedback on some of these states and some of the movies, and I tend to agree. In Alabama, Get Out.
Well, I told you that was an
choice.
Awful movie.
It was an awful movie, but we had some great movies that were
filmed there. Actors in it were just awful.
Yeah, absolutely right. Okay, so now we're going from Hawaii to Maryland, all right?
Mm.
So here we go, starting with number one on this go-around, Hawaii. And I contend to agree with this pick. It's called From Here to Eternity. It was a great movie with Burt Lancaster.
It's one of your black
Deborah
and white
Carr.
Right?
Yeah, it was black and white, but it was, you know, actually the filming cinematography was very good in that movie. Okay. Idaho. Uh-oh. Here's one of these movies that I'm not sure about. Napoleon Dynamite.
No.
Do you know that movie?
No.
It was made in 2004. And according to the Rotten Tomatoes, it got a 74% approval rating.
You know, when they come up with this, it's just like a group of people in a room.
I know.
And
I
one guy brings it up
it.
And then the nine other people are scratching their head.
Yes.
You know, really? I didn't know that.
You know, first
of all, just one guy that submitted, hey, go home and give me the best ones for the States and then bring it back.
It's always going to be an opinion piece. You can't really go, ah, this is definitely the best. Let's be honest. All right, Illinois. Illinois, The Dark Knight. It was a good movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
It was a good movie, 2008, 94% approval rating. All right, Indiana. Hoosiers.
That was a great movie.
That was a
good sports movie.
Yes, it was. 88% approval rating. Iowa. The Straight Story. Mm. I don't know anything about it. It was made in 1999. That's the only thing I know about it. And it got a 91% approval rating. Maybe it was the best movie made in Iowa, now that I think about it. What else are you going to do in Iowa? Okay, Kansas. This was a good movie. Paper Moon.
Mm.
Did you see it with Ryan O'Neal and his daughter Tatum O'Neal?
No.
They're traveling con artists.
I've heard of it, but I've
in the Dust Bowl era of the 30s. Okay. Anyway, got a 94% approval rating. Kentucky. Goldfinger. Do you remember the James Bond movie? Goldfinger, 1964. Good movie. Maybe the best one of the Bond movies, actually.
Mm.
Okay. Louisiana. 12 Years a Slave. That's a relatively recent movie. It had to do with a black man that was a free man, but was captured and made a slave, and he tried to maintain that he was a free man coming from a free state. 89% approval. All right, or 90% approval, rather. Maine. In the Bedroom. Never heard of it.
Mm-mm.
I don't know anything about it. Maryland. Where's my drums?
Oh.
You fell off the drum stool again.
And the jury said...
I said Maryland. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't say it loudly enough. Philomena. You ever heard of that one?
No.
I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it. Got a 89% approval rating. I think that's the top 10 for this. It is the top 10. I think a lot of these movies, and you're right, it comes from Money-Wise, which is a fairly... you know, sophisticated magazine website. But the nut that puts these things together, if they don't have To Kill a Mockingbird for Alabama and they have Get Out, then there's something wrong with it.
I was a little distracted. The
what?
President Buffoon's up there talking about clean energy credits.
Don't make fun of his name. He's
just
President
ridiculous.
Brandon.
Ridiculous. Clean energy. Why are we talking about clean energy? We need gas.
Of course.
Jesus.
Well, let's see here. He says it can save Americans $500.
Hey, I got an idea.
You know, they make up the numbers.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we run his limousine and his plane on clean energy? Let's see how far he gets.
He wouldn't get out of the driveway. All right. Thanks so much for listening and watching or whatever you're doing. We will be back Monday. Remember, freedom works. Can't you just let it be?
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. Restaurants are among the places desperate to find additional workers.
No matter where you go, there's a help wanted sign. So everybody has to struggle by. The owner's got to work. Everybody's got to jump in.
The government says last month, employers tacked on 390,000 jobs. Restaurants and hotels added more than 80,000. Bankrate.com's Greg McBride.
The job market remains in very solid shape. Job growth slowed, but just barely. We saw 390,000 jobs added in May. We did did see job increases fairly widespread across various industries.
Well, not a Texas, where an escaped murder convict was shot and killed in a gun battle with police south of San Antonio. But prison official Jason Clark says it's believed earlier he shot and killed five people.